The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to America's Web Radio. You're listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. And it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Well, at least we have a neighborhood. Some of the cities, some of the states, they don't have much of a neighborhood anymore. Wonder why? thinking blue you are. That's right. It's always about the blue versus the red. And last night, we're going to get into it a little later on in the show. You're not going to want to miss this. The great debate analysis from last night's. Sean Hannity on Fox News actually got, I want to say, Governor DeSantis and Governor Newsom to the table to talk about actual issues that Americans want to see. Americans actually want to see issues, not personal attacks, not stupidity. But you got a little of that, a little of this last night. But at least, you know what? Congratulations to both of them. They actually showed up for a debate. Something I fear that we're not going to see in 2024 because Biden can't debate, not with Trump, or not, I don't even think with DeSantis or Nikki Haley or any of the actual candidates on the Republican side. I don't think he could debate with himself. So without any further ado, let me jump right into my favorite part of the show. It's going to be rhyme time. Stand by. In the grand arena of ideas where intellects used to collide, debates unfolded like tales where truth used to and now lies reside. It's not supposed to be a game of dodgeball with tactics so sly and swift, but a dance of minds where honesty and great ideas should uplift. 3 years have passed, oh, how time swiftly goes, in this realm of word-side salad where wisdom is gone, truth no one knows. On this milestone day yesterday, upon what happened, let's ponder and reflect. The essence of debates no more, where tragically no intellects connect. What used to be the open forum of discourse, where ideas found their space, a clash of thoughts, different ideas for the future, possibilities as minds race. But beware, the dodgeball tactics have begun. They evade the pointed quest, for in the pursuit of any truth, evasion leads the way, putting simple minds to the test. Dodging questions is a craft to some, may seem clever, just a sly California maneuver from his lips uttered, the truth never. Yet in this grand tapestry of candidate words, deceit does corrode, for genuine debates demand real answers, not insincerity's abode. Questions lobbed at the candidates like queries in a game of dodgeball, yet evasion only leaves truth lodged in a mirage, no answers at all. The dance of his words was a ballet of the unsharpened, not keen. Last night revealed the evader, in the shadows he hid, now being seen. To dodge and weave a tactic of dubious last night. But authenticity came through from DeSantis. It's always emerges in the light. For debates are not dodgeball, no medals for evaders who are swift. But there must be accolades for those whose honesty came through as a gift. Can we really celebrate these last 3 years in a rhyme? In the realm of truth and knowledge, candidates must spend more time. Debates are not dodgeball, there's no real winners on a field, but minds must be enlightened and reasonable clarity revealed. On this about 3-year anniversary, let's try to find some truth in debates and discussions to outright lie in uncouth. For dodging questions is not an acceptable plan on the path we tread, but facing them head on with honesty is where the presidents are bred. In the grand arena of ideas, real truth must prevail. In the dance of wordside salads, let's try truth and sincerity set them sail. For 3 years have passed and more coming up may unfold. In the pursuit of America's moral compass, America must rise from these ashes where thoughts and solutions must again be bold. In the hallowed halls of what used to be justice where rights were carefully weighed, a tale of tragedy, of personal liberties trampled and betrayed. Court orders gagged Trump. A chilling hush now prevails, the First Amendment now shackled as freedom cries and wails. 3 years, these years have been a journey since the tale first began of a presidential candidate's voice silence, a stifled freedom's now the plan. As another year passes in the reality of time we must behold, the story of dwindling American rights trampled, and real truths still untold. The illegal symphony of silence, it should cause us all to fear that America and her freedoms are falling apart. We should all shed a tear. An appellate court order descends like a shadowy evil veil, silencing discourse and speech as democracy continues to become frail. The Constitution and her First Amendment weeps, its principles now torn. In the cacophony of the silence, a nation torn asunder must now mourn. Words once free, it's outrageous, now bound by legal chains. Debate stifled and now criticism of the opposition silenced as the truth refrains. Yet in this muted landscape, America without freedom dies. Where are the defenders of freedom, keeping watch over us with unwavering eyes? For the First Amendment has always been a beacon shining so bright. We must not succumb to the lies and the depths of the night. Is this a call for justice, a plea for a free world? If it is, we must answer and be proud of the American flag when it's unfurled. Resurrecting liberties must be the next 4 years' concern. We must go back to teaching civics and morals as we need to relearn. Is this the now shredded tapestry of time where rights are created and spun? Let's weave a new chapter and again let America seek her freedom to be won. Court orders place gags, but not on the spirit within. The First Amendment rises. It must be resounding, a resilient hymn. On the dawn of a new day, let the people's voices echo loud and clear. For the right to speak is paramount in America, to question the actions of a peer. 3 years have passed, but the fight for truth not yet won still endures. Against silence imposed, straight out lies, a slap against freedoms is yours. In the grand saga of injustice, truth must be the ultimate guide. Where the Constitution and the First Amendment soars, justice no longer denied. Court orders placed with gags, but hope can't be extinguished. It can never be lost. For silencing of freedom speech of the people, then you will know freedom's the cost. Again in the corridors of power, where leaders do reside, a sinister dance of deception, where truth is now denied. Don't let the facts get in the way they smile and decree. Presidential lies all now under Biden, woven into the American tapestry. Almost 3 years have passed since the initial web was spun of falsehoods and untruths, now apparently blinding everyone. On this Biden's anniversary, let this rhyme begin to unfold, the story of the presidential lies in a narrative so bold. Don't let the facts get in the way they repeat, a mantra of deceit where honesty takes a back seat. Presidential lies, a mirage now so grand, yet in the midst of the lies and untruths, can the truth actually withstand? The facts like stars in the sky night used to be a guiding light, guiding us through the darkness where lies have replaced them, a dastardly sight. In this poetic journey, let the verse now actually reveal the consequences of the Democrats that are tragic when truth they conceal. Now on this day of internal reflection, let truth again rise. Unmask these falsehoods and let's get moving and dispel all the Biden lies. The border's not closed. That's not even vaguely related to the truth. No matter how many times Biden, Mayorkas, and Harris say it, it's wide open. To see that, you certainly don't need to be a sleuth. Don't let the facts get in the way they implore. But we as citizens seek truth. If the media would shut up, we'd do it even more. In the grand narrative of history's front page, presidential lies, a stain on this country. It's his incompetency, not at all his age. Let the ink of justice try and inscribe this tale of a nation awakening from a 3-year coma where truth must now prevail. 3 years have elapsed, yet the truth hidden, it still remains. In the face of lies, integrity doesn't sustain. Don't let the facts cast aside or sent astray, for in their embrace a nation has been lost. It needs to find its way. In the land of stars and stripes, a question does arise. When will America be able to fix its moral compass? Can we surmise? 3 years have passed since this query first took flight. In the turbulent currents of recent injustices, this is now our collective plight. We have lost our direction. Now no one knows where we must go. We need a leader with a strong conviction to save the world from this spit show. The dark shadows on the horizon are under Biden getting much worse. It's as if America would glow. Now we have a curse. the shadows of our horizon as a nation we must confront. As the moral compass now broken and tossed aside, sorry, I have to be blunt. In the verses of this rhyme, we need to set and let the echoes resound. A call for introspection to our moral bearings, our compass must be found. 3 years of incompetence, too many challenges of trials and tests. The moral compass has failed us in the nation's quests. On this page of reflection, we must now again seek the light to guide America through this Biden turmoil in the darkest night. When will America fix its moral compass, we plea? In the vast web of principles, we must let justice be free. Now 3 years have spoken, many lessons learned this time perhaps. It's time to repair the moral compass and remove all the traps. So as I speak to you, let this rhyme declare this American nation's resolve to once again to be just and fair. For in the heart of we the people, the moral compass deep down still resides. So when it surfaces again, it will steer America with her convictions not divides. Now 3 years we have circled, lost, but hope never wanes in the pursuit of justice where righteous still reigns. When will America fix its moral compass? This question now is asked. The question, the answer lies within all of us, in every citizen's conduct. This is now the task. So rhyme time has come to an end again, short and sweet. You have to use your knowledge to bring back America to her feet. She has fallen, and I wonder if she can ever get up again. Get up. It's time to lock up the criminals and not the toothpaste be locked up. I'm sorry to say that our foreign policy has now officially lost its way, too. Better call Trump so Biden can find out what to do, as Biden clearly has no clue. Here we go. I'll stop rhyme time right here. On to the main show. Sit tight, relax, and if you're not driving, you can go grab a beer. Thank you. Thank you very much. So here's the deal. You know, this week has been, unfortunately, a week of dead people. I mean, not dead people in wars, although that's occurred too. I mean, dead people in the news. And people losing their lives as the country gets older and older. And it's a sad state of affairs because we're losing people in this country that really had profound effects on this country. And who am I talking about? Well, for one, we'll talk about the Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Found some interesting facts briefly on her today. She was the first woman ever appointed to the Supreme Court. And yes, by the way, appointed not by a Democrat, but by Ronald Reagan. Oh, yeah, I know all you guys in the blue hate him, but hey, he was the one who broke the glass ceiling. And she was actually born in Arizona. And being the first woman to be appointed to the Supreme Court, she also served in the other lower courts in the federal bench. But she went to Stanford Law School. Now, here's the interesting point that I wanted to make with respect to her. She, when she first got out of law school, couldn't even get a job at a law firm. She actually finished law school, I heard, in 2 years, not the current three, and couldn't get a job. Why? Because she was a woman. So when people in this country tell me that this country's backwards, we haven't achieved anything, let history be your guide. Let history tell you what actually is going on. Because you know what? You'll find out that most of the stuff you're learning and you're being told on the media and the TikTok and YouTube and the rest of the garbage, you know what? They're lying to you. Do your own research. Get off your butt. Become an American. Try it. It's really kind of interesting. And the other great individual, I know that some of us in this station will disagree with us, but I think one of the great persons who was a great negotiator, and in fact, maybe at some points during his career may have sold America out a little bit, but was Henry Kissinger. He passed away at age 100. He lived in Connecticut, so he passed away on Wednesday. He was pretty much a legendary foreign policy expert. He was consulted, I think, by up to 8 different presidents. And he was there for 60 years in the forefront. But, you know, there were times in his life when he wondered whether or not what he was doing was good or bad. And that's introspection. That's something we don't do in this country anymore. We never admit that we've done something wrong. We never admit that we made a mistake. We think that no matter what goes on, we just continue to go full throttle, forehead, no problem. You know, he was a brilliant man. He helped put a lot of what was going on in the Middle East together, and it would be worse. Imagine Hamas and Israel now, by the way, again, they're fighting this morning. Listen, there is no ending that, and I'll talk about that a little later on in the program. But I just wanted to mention those two people who passed away this week. Great Americans. I know, like I said, some of you disagree with me, but that's okay. That's why this is America, because you can disagree with me. If we were in China, that wouldn't happen, because you can't disagree. But we have, you know, we had really something happen today, or actually this week, again. We had at the White House, the Christmas tree fell over. So the failing economy, failure of moral clarity, a symbol of America's failure in the world, and the White House Christmas tree also fell over this week. A truer symbol of failure under Biden. The universe has sent us a message, America. We should actually listen to it. We must listen to it. You can't make this stuff up. The Christmas tree at the White House was knocked down by a great gust of wind. You know, I guess maybe it's global climate change. You know what? I'm surprised they haven't come out and said that yet. The green nuts coming out. But, you know, it's the product of incompetence, the administration of incompetence. They can't even get guys to put a Christmas tree up that stands up. You know, it reminds me of years ago, I had a Datsun 280Z, and that car rusted out. The quarter panels were just horrible. And one of the executives said in jest, who knew it was going to rain? You know, that's kind of like the Biden administration. Who knew people were going to try to get in through the border? Who knew the Christmas tree would be subject to winds? But you know what? Let's discuss a little bit further as we get towards the end of the year. This 2023, boy, I'll tell you, it has been a disaster for this country. It really has. You know, I know you keep hearing all the downside of things. I'm hoping, you know what? 2024, maybe it'll be better. But you know what? If it gets any worse, they keep telling you it's better anyway. So just listen to them if you feel depressed and angry and angst. Don't worry about it. So here we go. Again, talk about the word deterrence. After 75 missile attacks on the United States, a $32 million Reaper drone shot down, and what have we done? We've flown a missile up a camel's butt. We've knocked down a couple of huts. And I understand we did definitely attack a car. That's probably had a value of what, $1,500, maybe $600 over there. But we sent in a missile, $1 million missile to take out a $600 car. Yeah, that's Bidenomics for you at the military working. So everyone knows this. Everyone sees the except the genius bar at the Pentagon, Austin and Milley. What is wrong with these people? His answer to everything is, we're not going to telegraph what we're going to do. We're not going to telegraph what we're going to do. Just let that sink in for a second, okay? Because you don't need to telegraph anything if you're doing nothing. There you go. That answers the question. Because you know what? Let that sink in, because we're not going to do a damn thing. Because we're a feckless, useless military general policy right now. The heads of these organizations, Milley and Austin and Biden, he's the commander in chief. What do you think Trump would have done after three attacks? Not 75. In fact, what do you think DeSantis or Haley would have done after three attacks? We have targets. These are not supposed to be targets. Our military personnel are not targets. You know, please, the incompetency is just blatantly apparent. And here's the problem I have. We have a 13 dead tab already from the withdrawal. Well, I'll call it a withdrawal for now, but it was an abandonment of Afghanistan. Well, we don't forget about that. Okay? That was Milley's incompetence. That was Austin's incompetence. And once again, we demonstrated that the United States doesn't need a military budget because we're too weak a nation to defend ourselves. What do you call that? How many attacks does it have to be? Is that not an escalation? You know, they're afraid. They keep saying, we don't want to escalate. Okay, that's great. You don't want to escalate. Am I missing something here? Is 74 attacks not an escalation? So, you know what? I'm not a military expert, but I do know one thing. I know one thing very, very, very interesting, okay? If you're a schoolyard bully, okay, and you are going to punch me in the face, and you're going to keep punching me in the face, And what am I going to do? Am I going to stand there? Am I going to get punched in the face for the next 20 minutes? For the next 30 times? How many punches is good enough? How many people do we need to lose in the Middle East before we turn around and go back and do what we should have done after the second attack? You give them a warning? Don't, from Biden? That's fantastic. That's the same thing you said to Russia. How'd that work out? Yeah, we're paying for that right now, aren't we? There you go. And now we're in another war. I know, listen, his friends are in the military, Biden. He has a lot of military connections. They're all making a ton of money right now. But you know what? Our national treasure, our men and women are in the Middle East right now, on ships, on submarines, and on bases, and they are nothing right now but targets. So why? Either get them out of there or protect them. And they said, oh, well, no one's been killed yet. Well, that's great. How many is enough to be killed before we step up? I don't know. You know, one of the things that I love is if you have an incompetent administration and you have an incompetent people at the top of the administration, you know, I'll tell you the blatant difference right out. The very, very clear difference would be under Trump, if you're incompetent, you get fired. Under Biden, you get hired. That's it. Check a box, you're in. And you can never, ever get fired. This administration has shown pathetically what foreign policy looks like. And listen, we were told, listen, you can't run from your basement and win. Oh, yes, you can. And he was on the wrong side for the last 50 years of every foreign policy decision. And guess what? He's just continuing his poor streak. So why are they still in there? Why do you coddle your enemy? Why do you try to deal with your enemy who doesn't care what you say? Why do you let your enemy continue to blow up your stuff? That's a $32 million drone. What is that, paper? Does your school need $32 million? My school could certainly lose $32 million. If that's the way we throw money away and we get nothing in return, zero. When Russia was bumping our Reaper drones and knocking them out of the sky, what did we do? Nothing. Okay? We have to step up. This is not the America that I grew up in. This is not strong. When America gets a cold, the world sneezes. When America is weak, the world is in chaos. And if we have nothing other than a choice between Biden and Trump, I got to tell you, I will take peace over chaos anytime. And it's not the chaos that you're talking about in the media, because you guys are full of, let's just say, what comes out the opposite end of a horse when you feed him. Okay? This is not chaos under Trump. What was under Trump was world order. No wars. Hey, what conflict? Whoa. Since Biden's been in office, three major deals going on. And who's paying the bill? We are. And some is being paid by the rest of the world in Europe, but, you know, listen, it's always our deep pockets. But how many other soldiers must suffer traumatic brain injuries, which are, by the way, horrible? You can't see it on the outside, but a traumatic brain injury is devastating. And people don't realize that. So what are we waiting for? 10? 15? 100? What's the right number? Austin, Millie, can we hear something out of our military? And the Pentagon? My goodness, that's a pathetic place to be. You know, we used to have a Pentagon that did things for America and protected American soldiers, and we focused on lethality, not drag queen dances. Sorry to say that. You know, and that's not an attack on anybody. You want to do whatever you want to do in your business, but you know what? The job of the military is to be lethal, not to be well-dressed and dance. So let me jump over now to the January 6th tapes that were released. That was interesting. Because you know what? I watched a bunch of those tapes, and I guess the truth isn't what you actually see, because now the Democrats, like Jamie Raskin, that genius, they're telling you it was a security risk to release the tapes. Don't watch the tapes. Don't watch the calm people just walking through the halls. That looked more like a tourist attraction than what they claimed it would be. And absolutely, listen, let's not minimize the people that broke into the Capitol. those people should be prosecuted. Those people who fought with police, those people who broke in and damaged property, those people need to be prosecuted like criminals. But all of a sudden, that's interesting also. All of a sudden, the guys in blue, they want them prosecuted to the full extent of the law, while every blue-run city is letting criminals go without any penalties. No bail, no anything, no consequences, repeat offenders. You can steal up to $950. Well, wait a second. Did that apply at the Capitol? That you could steal up to $950 worth of items and then not get prosecuted? No, that didn't apply. What happened? They all got the maximum. They all got thrown in jail by a judge who hates Republicans. That was great, wasn't it? So I'm also wondering, whatever happened to Ashley Babbitt's investigation? An unarmed white woman who got shot by an African-American cop. Hey, you know, if that, just put your head on for a second. Put your thinking caps on, okay? Inside the Capitol, white cop shoots a black woman, unarmed. What goes on there? You would see that across every newspaper, every mainstream media. The pathetically mainstream media would be blasting that for 24/7. There'd be riots all over the streets. But what happened when Ashley Babbitt was killed for absolutely no reason? Sure, she shouldn't have been in there. You're right. But you know what? Did she deserve to be shot in the neck and die? Absolutely not. Was she exhibiting lethal force? No. But what happened to that investigation? Well, that was kind of wrapped into the January 6 tapes that were not released and now currently are released, showing a completely different situation. You know what? If you believe that what they put out in the January 6th committee, you don't understand that that was basically a Trump lynch mob. Then you deserve what you get in America. As it continues to crumble and the society breaks down, then go vote for Joe Biden again. Vote for the dementia patient. Vote for the incompetence. This has absolutely nothing to do with his age, by the way. Okay, because you look at Bernie Sanders, look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump and Biden are 4 years apart. But intellectually, they're light years apart. So what do you do? It's not his age. Stop saying it's his age. The Republicans keep saying it's his age. It's not his age. It's his incompetency. I was speaking to, 2 weeks ago, a gentleman who's 98 years old. We celebrated his 98th birthday. God bless him. You know what? He's got every marble he was born with. And you can talk to him, and he can speak with you, and he understands what's going on. You know what? Joe Biden doesn't. And if you think he does, then you don't understand what's going on, and you have a problem. You're completely detached from reality at that point. And during your lifetime, I'm sure you've made some great decisions. But you know what? We got sold a bill of goods here, and we got to figure it out. You can't do this again. You know, and the same thing with BLM. Look at the contrast between BLM rioters that caused billions of dollars of damage and January 6th, those perpetrators. What happened? A little bit of a difference, don't you think? So I just also wanted to address a little bit about the stupidity here in America that's going on between the radicals and, you know, America is a melting pot, or at least it was. It was a melting pot. And now, I don't know what it is. As a melting pot, it's been destroyed. I don't understand it. I don't know how it happened, but I can tell you this much. It's not acceptable. And if we think it's acceptable, we need to redo our thinking. We need to get back that moral compass again, because that moral compass has fallen apart. So this week, I know everybody's going to say, oh, you talk about local issues. High school. Violent riot against a teacher who posted a post on her Facebook page outside of school on her time that she supports Israel. What happened at this school is a sign of what our failing education system is doing. It is a sign of what our children are learning and what we are creating, the next generation of American terrorism. These results will be, and what we are seeing now, where's all that political outrage that you should see? When a teacher literally had to barricade herself. Here it is. Across the front page of the New York Post, it says, Queens High School student thugs chased a teacher and threatened to kill her. A group of students, and let me say that again, a group of high school thugs in Queens, New York, chase and force a teacher to hide and barricade herself in a room. literally barricade herself in a room. This is not figuratively, threatening and breaking things, trying to get to her to either beat her up or severely wound her or even kill her. 30 cops had to be called to the school and get her out of there. And then they restored some kind of order, although I understand this school is out of order to begin with. But this is the state of our schools. And our genius at the top, our education secretary. Anything? Nothing. Now, where's the, by the way, where's the DOJ? Or they're still chasing Donald Trump and his kids? Why is the DOJ not going after this? Why are they not there? Why are they not arresting people? Why are people not being charged with hate crimes? This is a federal hate crime. You cannot go after someone and threaten to kill them because of their religion or someone they support. That's a mob. And that needs to be prosecuted. And under federal law, not state law, because state law in New York, we don't do anything. We don't have to, we don't have consequences for crime anymore. It's ridiculous. And the rent-a-cop, our mayor, Mayor Adams in New York City, his weak leadership in the city, the best thing that he could come up with from his genius ball was to say, this will not be tolerated. Not that we're investigating, not that we're arresting students, not that the thugs that committed these crimes. No. Nah. However, you know what? We don't do anything to prosecute the criminals anyway, so what's the point of arresting them? That's true. He's probably saving the taxpayers money. Because you know what? After a while, we need a lot more money for the immigrants. You know, the immigrants, the violators, the people that rush this country. You know, $12 billion, $6 billion a year that New York City is spending. Yeah, now they're going to cut the police department. They're going to cut social services. They're going to cut the services to the minorities, to our veterans. And by the way, I saw a story, and I haven't verified it, that a 94-year-old veteran was thrown out of a private facility so that migrants could house there. Okay? Let that sink in again. Let that sink in for a second. A veteran who served this country, 94 years old, was tossed out of a facility because we need to house illegal aliens, people who invaded our country. This is great. This is what America's come down to. Is this what America's come to? Is this why we are so pathetic? Is this why our leadership is so ineffective? Our educational system has gone sideways. That's been broken for years, and we pretty much knew that. But where's the discipline in our school? It's got to start sometime. They are out of control. And I blame the administrators. You know, you're paying these people, principals, $500,000, superintendents, $500,000. And they're still doing nothing because they're ideologues. They don't have the children's best interests in hand. If we do not go back to civility and morality and make that a focus rather than teaching all about gender identity and gender chander and gender benders, okay, this is not what we need to do. You know, it's flourishing here. And you know what? In all deference, I cannot just blame this on the Biden administration, but it's flourishing under the Biden administration. This has been going on for 20 years under Obama, under Bush, okay, Clinton. It's all been going on because the radicals infested in the schools. They infested them, and now we're seeing the result. You know, you need to pull this out. You need to stamp it out. You need to pull it out by its roots. The lethal radicalism is now in this country. It's the pro-radical Muslims actually supporting Hamas. Okay? If I went and I said I support the KKK and I went out and marched, guess what? I'd probably be arrested as a white supremacist. But you see, under the guise of being a Muslim, and here's the interesting part. If you talk to Muslims, people who are actually religious Muslims, people who actually believe in the religion, they don't have a problem with America. They don't have a problem with Israel. And in fact, if you talk to Palestinians, and I've seen some interviews with Palestinians outside of Palestine, they don't want Hamas. They don't want them there. But yet, these radicalized people in the United States have been left to flourish. And they speak at schools, and they speak against our ally in the, you know, listen, let's not conflate things here, quite frankly. Our ally, Israel, when they're yelling at Israel, they're yelling at America. Okay? If you want to support people that raped women, cut the heads off of babies, put babies in microwave ovens, and burnt them alive, burnt people alive, cut babies out of people who were pregnant, out of women's stomachs. And you want to support them? You do not belong in the privileged country of America. I'm sorry. And by the way, for all you ninnies who are out there protesting against Israel, let me point out a fact for you. Israel has not occupied Hamas's area in the Gaza Strip since 2005 of August. Geniuses. And you're calling for them to stop the occupation. There is no occupation. They're occupied by Hamas. And guess what? Israel is stamping out Hamas right now. They're taking them out. It's back on. You know? It's like fighting Mike Tyson. It's on again. And what did they think? They found three dead hostages, I think, this week. We don't know. We don't know anything anymore. This country is so bizarrely out of control. We really don't know what's going on. And that's a problem. That's a problem we need to fix. Because we need to understand what's going on in the country. You know, so the fighting started again back. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but there's a lot to cover here. The super intelligence agencies, okay? Right now, Hamas still holds approximately 137 hostages. They found the IDF three bodies of hostages. One was an 87-year-old man. Who kidnaps an 87-year-old man? You know, this is the inhumanity that they are facing. And by the way, Biden and Kerry and all these geniuses and Austin and Milley and Blinken Lincoln, hey, they still have eight American hostages. We're now in the 56th gate. We're 56 days into this, and we're getting cartered. And I'll mention her also. She passed away, unfortunately. Listen, Carter was a nice guy. So was his wife. But you know what? Certain times call for certain people. These are tumultuous times. These are dangerous times. Biden might be the great-grandfather. Fantastic guy. I don't know him personally. But I see what I see. I can't deny what I see. What I see is somebody who is weak, disorganized, just doesn't have a clue what's going on. And normally somebody like that would usually get people around him who did. He seems to hire the checkbox people who don't have any clue what's going on. Milley. You know, Austin, what are we doing? We sent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of equipment over there. And we're doing nothing with it. It's sitting, and it's a target. They're sending missiles, and how long do you think it's going to be before they hit one of our targets? Yeah, one of our ships over there. They're targets. They're not. He keeps saying they're there for defensive purposes. Yeah, defensive for what? You know, either get them out of there or let them loose. That's what I can say. You know, the difference in America is we used to be strong. The world looked to us. In the Second World War, if we would have not entered the war, everybody would be speaking German. Now Germany's our best friend. So things change. So when people say Hamas and Israel will never be together, or the Palestinians and Israel will never be together, listen, don't say never. But under terrorist organizations like Hamas, that their goal is to destroy the other side, this is not a good thing, and it's never going to happen. But you know what? Here's my great question, and I pose this to you as a philosophical point, brought to you by Bite of Reality. Is our human superior intelligence the greatest factor that will bring about our own doom? Are we doomed because of our own intelligence? Will we ever find a way out, how not to blow each other up, how not to destroy each other? It's a never-ending hole. And when does it end? When we end the species or when we end the world? We're rapidly facing the sixth apocalyptic doom. Okay? An extinction of Earth's population of species. Maybe all of them this time. Maybe not 70 or 80% of the species. But we're not, you know, we're worried about climate change. That's not the existential threat. Radicalism is the existential threat. Radicalist terrorists in this world are the existential threats. So why do you think, what are we going to do? And what happened on Thursday? By the way, okay, everybody says, oh, there was a ceasefire. Well, not really. Hamas terrorists killed four Israeli citizens in Jerusalem at a bus stop. Does the idiocracy of the world need more proof of who these terrorists are? Why they definitely need to be completely eradicated from humanity in this world? This kind of inhumanity, this kind of bizarre, barbaric behavior cannot exist here. You know, it makes me really question whether we are an intelligent species or not. And, you know, I got to tell you, I give kudos to John Kirby. He has made my number one list of deflectors in chief. He is better than the deflector shields on the Starship Enterprise. This guy can deflect any question and make it look like you had no answer. And it's amazing. He can say so many words and nothing comes out. Nothing is there. It's absolutely phenomenal. You're looking at it and you're going, wait a second. There's nothing going on here. He hasn't said a darn word. So what he says is, on Monday, he goes, we're doing the best we can. Well, sorry. We want them to be free too. But not letting them know that releasing or not releasing the American hostages, that we're going to shove a bomb up their butts, is really not a good strategy. You need to let them know that if you don't stop now, if you don't give us back the hostages, that we will knock you so far in history back to the Stone Age. We will destroy your country and wipe it off the map. And people are going to say, whoa, wait a second, that's really drastic. Guess what? Yes, it is drastic. It is drastic. You know, we have learned nothing from history because we no longer teach real history in schools anyway. Our education system is done. It's done. It's finished. You know, the best statement this week out of John Kirby was great. He said, he called the families of the hostages extremely interested in their safety. You know, what is wrong with these people? That's not a sign of strength when your nation bows down to a lowly terrorist group. You don't, what happened to don't negotiate with hostages, you know, hostage takers? So we spent, here we go, humanitarian crisis, right? Well, guess what? Who caused that humanitarian crisis in Gaza? Oh, let me guess. Hamas? Did Israel attack Hamas? Did Israel attack these Palestinians? No. Let's not forget October 7th, folks, because I know everybody on the other side, the radicals, want to forget it. They were cheering it. And every one of those professors that opened their mouths and cheered that on, they're teaching your kids. So, by the way, the last time we had hostages taken, well, we paid $1.2 billion per hostage. So, what do we got, eight now? So 1.2 billion times eight? Yeah, that ought to be about the right number, right? And I got to tell you, I think the ceasefire was a bad idea. I know that Biden and his weaklings and his pathetic administration were pushing Israel and twisting their arm. Because I can tell you right now, I saw it in Netanyahu's eyes. He did not want to stop. He wanted them gone. They were angry. And as time goes on, the world's going to become aloof. They're going to be, well, October 7th, you know, all right, so 1,800 people, 2,000 people, well, you know, what are you going to do? Stuff happens in the world, right? We're not that smart, folks. Don't give yourself that much credit. We're embroiled right now in the world's stupidity. We're right in the middle of it. And I see there may be no way out. You know, John Kirby at deflecting questions, like I said, he's better than the Starship Enterprise deflector shields. We gave Iran $6 billion. And what happened? Again, how stupid? Well, they keep proving me wrong. I asked how stupid, and they keep going to the next level. But what I find really pathetically amazing in this country, that things like this are protected by free speech. That you can come after somebody and you can say anything you want. You can get in their face. You can rip their posters down. And that's just called resistance when it's on the left side, when it's on the radical left. But as soon as a right winger or conservative steps up and says something, all of a sudden, oh my God, that's not protected by free speech. You had an idiot in Congress yesterday from New York, by the way. I think his last name was Goldman. I didn't see the entire exchange, but he was arguing that 35% of the government and I think it was YouTube censoring conservatives, that was okay. That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing that he said 35% censorship is okay. Well, why don't we give him 35% of his salary and let's see if that's okay. Well, why don't we give him 35% of something else? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a brain? How's that? Would that work for him? Well, apparently it's still working for him. You know, I got to warn America. I have to warn America. Okay? You know, you have places like Oakland, California putting out stuff passing a by their legislation there that genocide against Israel, but they failed to condemn Hamas. Oh, I don't know. Why was that? Let me guess. So here's the problem I have. This is the great leaders of America. Let me just give you a little history lesson. You probably didn't learn this. What Abraham Lincoln, our great president Abraham Lincoln, who, by the way, was a Republican, he warned about this scenario exactly. And this is what he said. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. Let that sink in. That's what we're doing. The infestation and the rot in America is from within. It's not external forces. And when you let 8.5 million outsiders in, those are now the insiders. And what are we going to do in America when we have to take care of these 8.5 million people? Well, we're going to cut our services, cut our police department, cut services to minorities, cut social services. In fact, when they get around to it, they're going to attack your Social Security under Biden. You watch. Because you know what? It's not a never-ending barrel of money. That money has to come from somewhere. And they've already told you. The Democrats have already said they're going to tax you into oblivion. They've already said they're going to raise taxes to pay for all this. You know, he wants to put a ton of people at the border. What, to catch people? No, to process them into America. So don't let that narrative fool you. That I heard this during the debate. And I'll talk about that real quick in a second. This was great. You know, but I will tell you one thing before I get to the debate. That you have Europe is now switching back to conservatives. Europe is usually very liberal. And they're turning around. They're turning around because why? Because they're fed up. And we haven't gotten fed up here in America with the liberal politics and destroying our economy and destroying our moral standards. We haven't gotten sick of that yet. Why is that? I don't know. It's time for America to wake up. You know, I've never said this before, but we have to catch up to Europe. We have to get back to conservative views and what made this country beautiful, great, and the envy of the world. When you hear migrants who come here, they invade, they cross the over, they take this 1,000-mile trip, and they get here, and they turn around and they say, you know what? It's better in my country. That's a problem, America. Did you see what you just did? I do have to mention this. I do want to mention this. We have in Chicago this week, boy, and you missed Lori Lightfoot soon, Mayor Eric Johnson, I think his name is Eric Johnson of Chicago. He was literally blaming the MAGA Republicans for this idiocracy that's going on in Chicago. He was literally blaming them for the out-of-control migrant crisis in his city, where they're all over the streets. They're freezing cold. They're out in the police stations. They're everywhere you can possibly think. This is full ground. This is full throttle, full speed ahead, without allowing any downshifting, you know? And then talk about the crime. All right. It was reported $100 billion in losses due to theft in this country in 2023 so far. You know who's paying for that? You, the shopper. That's what's going to happen. So let me jump on. I know we're getting towards the end of the program here, but I did want to get on to the great debate yesterday. So what was that great debate? Was it great? Well, not so much. You know, what I did see is I saw DeSantis, who's as slick as a greased duck. This guy was, like I said, you think John Kirby's a great deflector? I don't think Newsom answered a question the whole night, except for what his name was. You know, listen, he's a slippery, charismatic character. We all know that. He's grooming himself for 2028 if Joe Biden doesn't drop. Okay? If he drops out or something happens or he falls over another sandbag, they'll just slide him right in there. Because you know what? He's got the gift of gab. But DeSantis, he's not very charismatic. His policies are obviously better than those in California. And, you know, the fact that Newsom thinks Biden's doing a great job should tell you all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Just imagine America as California. Everybody's buying EVs, but don't charge them because we don't have the electric grid to charge them. So here's what we were talking about, some facts and statistics. Say that word three times fast. Florida, 2.8% unemployment. California, 4.8. Second worst in the country. There you go, America. Welcome to Gavin Newsom's world. Florida, 50-year lower crime rate. Backs the blue. Mass exodus from the state back to from California to Florida. It's just incredible. California, crime rate up 45%. People are leaving there faster than Afghanistan. You know? And they talk about a disenfranchised middle class. You have the wealthy elites, and then you have a pile of people living on the streets. Welcome to Newsom's world. So, he went back to the old phrase again. 14 million jobs created by Joe Biden. He's doing a great job. Well, wake up, America. 11 million of those jobs weren't created. They just came back when the company of America was open. When America was back open, those 11 million jobs came back. Why? Because everybody was thrown out of their workplace. That's not creating a job. If you look at actually what he's created, about 3 million jobs or 4 million jobs, depending on whose numbers you read, that's the worst of any president in 40 years. But that's okay. We don't have to worry about real numbers because facts don't matter. So this was great. Newsom yesterday called Florida the lockdown state. Woof. I got to tell you, I saw a lot of congressional people calling AOC partying down in Florida at that lockdown state. I don't think he even understands what was going on in his state. But he was, well, because he was at the French Laundry eating dinner without a mask. But you know what? He was the lockdown king. Cost thousands of jobs. This will have a generational impact on American education. You know, and by the way, just to put it there, education, California has the lowest literary rate, the literacy rate. See, I'm illiterate. I came from New York in the country. And Florida is number three. So, you know what? You know, they asked him whether or not the border was, they asked him simple questions. They really did. I think Sean Hannity should have stepped in because obviously, One thing I will take away, and I hate to say it about DeSantis because I think his policies are good. I know people disagree with him. That's fine. That's America. But I think his policies are good. He's like Trump light. But I got to tell you, he did not control Newsom last night. And I think had Trump been up on that stage with DeSantis, it would have been a massacre. It would have been something to see. Trump would have shut him down because Trump would have not taken what went on. He would not have allowed him to do that. I mean, just clearly would not have allowed him to do it. It just would have never happened. But I you know, listen, I give DeSantis and I give, like I said, Newsom a lot of credit for showing up. But you know what? 8.5 illegal Americans coming into this country or illegal immigrants, they want to be Americans. That's unacceptable. It's intolerable. It's an attack on America. And he said, you know, the sanctuary city. He never answered that question. He never answered the question. That was the great thing. And he went back to the same old talking. He was like a talking point billboard. That was what he was doing. So let me give you some real quick facts and figures. And again, the abortion rate, I got to tell you, abortion, that issue is going to kill America. That issue is going to literally, and it's going to kill the Republicans. Because unfortunately, however you see it personally, the country is 70% in favor of abortion with some limited restrictions. And that's the bottom line. You know, Newsom thinks the Biden policies are working. He's in favor of Bidenomics. It's a disaster. You know, so let me give you some quick numbers. Immigration under Biden, 8.5 million people, 2.8 million notices to appear that you'll never see, 1.7 million known gotaways. Let's think about the other ones. That's from Customs and Border Protection. Foreign nationals found at the southern border in Florida, 22-23, Afghans, 6,000. Over 6,000, Egyptians over 3,000, Iranians over 600, Syrians over 500, Russians over 12,000, Chinese over 26,000. Violent crime, nationally, 499 per 100,000. I'm sorry, take that back. California is 499.5 per 100,000. Nationally, it's only 380 per 100,000. And Florida, 258 per 100,000. By the way, on gun laws, California ranked number one most restrictive laws. They had 21 mass shootings in 2019. Florida ranked number 19 most restrictive laws. Florida had 9 mass shootings. Not that I'm saying any mass shootings are any good, but gun laws are not the issue. Criminals are. Okay? Florida ranked number one in education. They spend only $12,000 per student. K through 12. California ranked 20, number 20. California spends $16,000 per student K through 12. That's the U.S. News World Report Education Data Initiative. Look at that. U.S. Census Bureau. California versus Florida income tax. Oof. Florida, 0.0. California, medium income, 6%. California rate on income over 1.3, 13%. Welcome to California. Taxing, taxing, taxing. Average property tax in Florida, 0.91%. California, 0.75%. Sales tax, 6% Florida, 7.25% California. Ooh, is a big one. Gas tax, 35.23 cents for Florida, 77.9 cents for California. Boy, I'm telling you. COVID death rate, which was an interesting one for me. The COVID death rate was interesting because nationally it was 289 per 100,000. In Florida it was 252 per 100,000. In California it was 248 per 100,000. Yet California had absolutely horrific lockdowns. And that was the story on that from the debate. But I know we're getting close to the time out here. Time to head off into the blue yonder. Time to water up my horse and take off for the week. But you know what? We are a country teetering on the precipice of our own destruction. I truly believe that America and the world, we cannot and will not survive another 4 years of the pathetic Joe Biden administration. It's not just him. It's his administration. Look, I'm sure Joe Biden needs to retire. And I think America needs to retire him. As a humanitarian gesture, we should retire him. The world needs to once again have a strong and intimidating America. This gives rise to world stability, folks. If we don't do this, if we go back to the same thing that we're doing now, you might as well stick a fork in us because we're done. We're done as a nation. We cannot continue along this path. And it's not just me saying that. It's the facts. The facts are what they are. You know, you can't make this stuff up. Well, actually, you can. I watched that debate yesterday. But this society is in trouble. America's in trouble. And when America's in trouble, the world is in trouble. We need leadership. We can no longer afford to have feckless, directionless leaders who know nothing about anything that's going on in our lives in America. Ask yourself, what has he done? What has he done over the 4 years to make your life better? What has Biden done? Was your life better under Trump or under Biden? I can tell you my life was much better under Trump. And don't calculate COVID because they're going to throw that in your face. Be smarter than that. You know, that's all I have to say today. I think that we need to understand what's going on in the life of America. And you know what's going on in your life. Don't listen to them for the garbage that they're spewing. And Flopsy Mopsy, please get rid of the binder. Get some truth. Because you know what? Truth must be told. Truth is something that will always come out at some point. And we just don't have a stomach anymore for lies. We can't do that. But I'll let you guys go. Get on with your week. We're going to take off. This is Mark the Shark from America's Web Radio with Bite of Reality signing off. Have a great week. And thanks for listening.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.